TalkingTrading.com.au is your weekly fix podcast of share market expert interviews. Our team of experts will help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Let's get cracking.
Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you company. Today we have a very special guest from the United States, Adrian Tograhi. Adrian's an international best-selling author and trading coach who talks with us today about the ugly truth of trading mindset crimes and how to cultivate a winner's state of mind. A wonderful woman with a wealth of wisdom to share. Louise Bedford joins us for a motivational kick in the butt, as always, with Mind Power. We also have trading trivia. But first up, here's an in-depth look at the news for the week ending 30th of May with Chris Tate.
And now, Market Matters with Chris Tate.
What happened in the Aussie stock market last week?
Well, what can I say? The ASX 200 is pretty much still stuck in its trend. It's still stuck in this band that it's caught in, which is in sharp sort of juxtaposition to what's happening in the US, because all major US markets, bar the NASDAQ 100, have broken again to the upside. So it's taken the Dow most of the year to set a new high, but it's actually managed to do it. So once again, we're caught with a market that is effectively going sideways. And from my perspective, it will continue to appear as if it's going sideways until it breaks above the 5,500 mark. And that 5,500 mark is really somewhat of a roadblock at present.
Why hasn't it busted through the 5,500 mark?
I think if you were to try and construct a narrative as to why that is, you could say that the budget has to some degree shot the legs out from under people, but you need to look further afield. And I think, and I keep harking back to this, we have a market that is driven by two entities or two blocks. The first is finance in the banks, but the second is mining. And without demand from China, we're not going to get that lift. The mining boom is well and truly over, despite what people say. And it's never really been a true mining boom because commodity prices haven't taken off. It's been a mining infrastructure boom. And the two are very, very different.
Explain the difference.
With a mining boom, with a true mining boom, what you get is a dramatic lift in commodity prices. So the prices of iron ore, precious metals, aluminium, everything goes up and goes up very strongly. So what that does is it drags all the small miners with it and it drags all the speculative stocks with it. We really haven't seen that. What we've been seeing, though, is investment in infrastructure for mining. So instead of the things in the ground being valuable, it's the things that dig the things out of the ground that have become valuable as people have built infrastructure around their mining facilities. And the problem is that's come to an end. And it's come to an end simply because China is not generating the demand we thought it would generate. We continue to be just a big hole in the ground. So we ship over dirt and they ship back very expensive TVs. And until that changes, until the Chinese equity market begins to take off and we see some sort of life from them, we're just not going to see the sort of market we want to see. This is also affecting other Asian markets. If you look at the likes of the Nikkei and the Hang Seng, they're sort of stuck in their own little circle of hell as well. And trends are hard to come by in Asia, or decent trends are hard to come by, with the exception of the Straits Times Index out of Singapore, which has had a nice little run of late. But until we get something positive to kick our market along, it won't happen. Part of the problem is that we have gold-centric investors here in Australia. So that if gold's not moving, the market tends to stall because it tends to lose interest. Now, the unfortunate thing about gold is it tends to be an idiot magnet. And it really does tend to generate sort of a pants-on-head moment for traders. And gold at present is slipping. It's broken through sort of the magic 1290 mark. And any break below that, to me, is a sort of signal to go short again. So until we get sort of something to kick us along, we're not really going to follow the Americans with any degree of strength, which is unfortunate because I think the relative figures are, since the GFC, they're up about 180%, and since the GFC, we're up 70 or 75 or thereabouts.
Big difference.
It's an enormous difference. They've got a great deal of energy in their stock markets. And the interesting thing is they've managed to do this while keeping volatility low. And whilst volatility is low and markets are trending, that's a perfect storm for traders because you get this high propensity to trend. The low volatility means that you can build large position sizes, and it all adds up to happy days.
What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
Here again, we're sort of stuck. We're in this malaise. I don't regard anything as being particularly hot here in Australia. And the thing we have to remember with when we're comparing sectors is that we're looking at things that are doing sort of less badly than the overall index. From my perspective, I've only got two positions in the domestic market, and that's CSR and NIB Holdings. Whilst I'm continuing to add to those when pyramid positions come along, I'm currently not running my domestic scans because the market just doesn't justify it for me. There's nothing really happening that stands out. One of the things about trading is that speculation needs to be worth the effort. So it needs to be worth the effort of me not only pushing the button to get the PC to look for things, but also from the perspective of what my potential bang for bucks will be. And I just don't see it here domestically at present. US is a different situation.
Why is the US market doing so well?
Probably because they're printing money at a phenomenal rate. And this is, of course, one of the things that in some ways terrifies people, is that there is this loosening of the tap. And so you've got a flood of money. And that does tend to worry people a little bit. And I can see their concern. But we have similar situations here. But there's just not the real interest in the stock market as an investment vehicle. I mean, down here in Melbourne, the talk is still all about property. It's not about the market. I'm not having the drivers who pick me up from the airport talk about the stock market. I'm having them talk about investment properties. And until we get that energy, the local market really doesn't justify, well, me looking at it.
So what opportunities are you going to look at this week?
For me, I'm looking at potentially adding to the shorts in gold and silver. If they continue to break below, particularly if gold breaks below 1240 and if silver breaks below 18, that'll be reason to top up. I'm re-entering the US indices down the S&P 500 on the long side tonight. NASDAQ 100, I'm holding off until we can actually sort of see something happen. The problem with the NASDAQ is that I think the narrative that people use has failed because a lot of the new floats, which they thought would pump the market, haven't really done so. They've actually failed, which has upset people a little bit. I'll add to the two positions I've got here domestically, but from a domestic perspective, that's all I'll be doing here.
Any advice for traders this week?
Look overseas. Don't look domestically, look overseas. The currency's stable, so there's really not a problem with managing the currency risk, and I would continue to look elsewhere at present.
Chris, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
Make decisions not from where you are now, but from where you want to be. Start with the end in mind. It will shift your mindset. Every time you have a decision to make, when you're presented with an opportunity, work out if it's in line with what you really want your trading business to look like in the future. If you have the essence of a trader in your heart, you have to start saying no to opportunities that don't lead you towards that path. Do you think that next year's greatest trader is wondering whether to buy that $30 book? Hell no, they just press buy now. And if you're still hesitating, you're going to be the loser. Stop treating this like a hobby. How are you being cheap? How are you being small? How are you treating your business like a hobby instead of the answer to your problems? Trading is the solution. What I enjoy most is spending time helping my traders create the life that they want to live. Whether you want a bit of extra cash each month or whether you really want to go all the way, replace your income and go full time, you will have to conquer your fears. Years ago, I took action directly that led me to leading this life. You can meditate and think right all day, but if you don't take action, you will never achieve. Success is a combination of thinking the right way and doing the right things.
Adrian Tograhi is an internationally recognised authority in the field of neuro-linguistic programming for the financial community. She's the best-selling author of 13 books and has provided training for major financial institutions, including the Chicago Board of Trade and the New York and Chicago Mercantile Exchanges. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Carolyn.
So why do most people lose in the markets?
Most people lose in the markets because they don't prepare themselves properly. When you consider the fact that if you want to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or any profession that will give you a large salary, you have to go to school and you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars and you have to put a lot of time and energy into it. People come into trading and they think they can read a book or take a course and automatically that's going to make them very successful in trading. But the fact is that 90% of the people that come into the markets lose. And why do the 10% make it? Because they get the proper education and they do what is necessary to follow their rules by taking care of their psychology.
So why do traders get upset even when they make a small loss in the markets when overall they know that's part of the big picture?
When you think back in your life to everything bad that's ever happened to you, there was always a loss involved. When you were a kid, you lost a game. When you got older, perhaps you lost your job or you lost a spouse or you got a divorce. And there's this place inside of ourselves that I call the cesspool. And in the cesspool, we accumulate all of the emotional losses that we've had in our life. So now here you are as a trader, and a trader, it's a trip of discovery about yourself. Mm. So you have one loss and it's just part of the game. Then you have a second loss and you start feeling a little uncomfortable. By the third loss, all of a sudden, something happens. You dip into that cesspool and then it's not about that loss. It's about all the losses that have happened to you in your life. And then you're wondering why you are so emotionally involved. Well, you're so emotionally involved because of all of those other losses. And when you accumulate that over a period of time, you know, you have the first series of three losses, and then you have the second series of three losses, and then you do that over and over again, it becomes a conditioning. It becomes an anchor of bad responses. And what happens is over a period of time, you get panicked. You're not able to perform.
So what can traders do to overcome their fear of loss?
Consider how it happened in the first place. How do we create an emotion? We create an emotion by creating a picture. Mm. And in this picture, what we see is something perhaps that's very negative. And then we create words in our head. And those words are very negative. So the negative pictures, the negative words lead you to an emotion. And then an emotion feels uncomfortable. It shuts down our neurology. And when you shut down your neurology, all of a sudden you behave stupidly and you do stupid things and you start sabotaging your results in trading. So what you have to do is start to change the pictures on a regular basis in a mental rehearsal of things that can go right. Because if you have positive pictures and positive dialogue, then what will happen, and you do that over a period of time, you create a positive condition response, a positive anchor, and then eventually you get to the point where that emotion becomes part of you rather than the negative emotion.
Can you give us an example of how we process these mental pictures?
Well, consider the fact that when you create negative pictures, you do it over a period of time. And maybe you're not even thinking of the picture anymore. Maybe you're not even thinking of the words in your head. All you get is the emotion. And then what happens is you don't even know why you started that emotion in the first place. We have a tendency of repeating and repeating the same pictures in a loop over and over and over and over again. And then and it can be totally unrelated to trading. And then when we get to trading, that loop is still in us, the loop of not the picture, not the words, but the loop of the emotion. So getting back to what you originally asked, and that is about how do we change that loop? We change the loop by repeating the mental rehearsal over and over and over. Now, of course, if it's really deep-seated, if it's stuff that has to do with a big trauma in your life, you're probably going to need some deeper work.
How specific shall we go with our visualizations?
Well, the way that I work with people is I have them see themselves coming to the trading desk and going through all of their list of how they see an opportunity and do the checkoff list and take the opportunity, see themselves winning with the opportunity and making the right choices. And they do that over and over and over again. This is conscious coaching. And conscious coaching is just good advice. There are many people that will give you advice during the day. And a lot of that advice is really good. But sometimes that advice goes by the wayside because it is not something that will penetrate deeply. You don't take it that seriously that you will put it into your neurological system to make a grand change. Sometimes you need something deeper.
There are a lot of trading coaches out there. What's the differences between what they offer and what you offer?
There are different levels of coaching. The coaching on the conscious level, this is what I do in my books. This is what I do in my tapes. And then there's the coaching on the subconscious level. That is when my conscious mind is dealing with your subconscious mind. And then there is the my conscious mind dealing with your unconscious mind. And then there is the level of the spirit, and there's the level of energy, and all of those deeper things, they come with private consulting, they come with my top performance seminar. And that's the kind of thing that is going to make the permanent changes, the changes that will be instantaneous. There's this old joke, if you bear with me, about a man who looks in the telephone book when a ship breaks down. And he sees this guy that says, I can fix any ship. And he calls him, and the guy comes down, and the guy looks this way, and he goes, bung, and all of a sudden the ship starts. And he says, this is fantastic, give me a bill. So the guy gives him a bill, and it says $1,000. And the guy said, $1,000? I want an itemized statement. And he says, $1 for the tap and $999 to know where to tap.
You're the where.
I'm the where to tap. After doing this for 24 years, you get to the point where you're very seldom surprised with anything that that someone gives to you as far as sabotage is concerned. Because human beings, whether they're in the performing arts or in sports or in trading, they're all the same when it comes to performance.
So what does a trader need to know to be successful in this game?
What it takes to be successful in trading is, first of all, you have to have the right passion. It has to be where you get up in the morning, you say, hot damn, it's a new day, and I just can't wait to get to that trading desk because I love it. And then you have to have the commitment to stick through some hard times. You have to study the markets, study the basics of the markets. You know, Jesse Livermore's Reminiscence of a Stock Operator is a real good base to start with. And then you have to read about traders to find out which particular trading style is for you. Then you have to look at your resources. How much money do you have? How much time do you have? And then you have to hone in on which type of time frame you want and which type of strategy and which type of instrument you want to trade. Then you have to develop a system or methodology, a criteria for entering and exiting a trade. Why will this theory work? Then you test that theory. And in that testing, do you find that you can follow your rules in simulation? And if you can't follow your rules in simulation, you're not going to be able to do it in real-time trading. So you better start getting some help. And then if you go on and you find that you're great in simulation and you go on to trading real live money and it's not working for you and everything you've done right, then you need, again, the psychology of trading, because you have to be able to follow your rules. If you have good rules and you follow those rules, you're going to make money.
Would you like to offer our listeners something special?
Why not? If they go to my website, tradingontarget.com, what I will do is for the first 5 people who sign up for a free newsletter, I will give them a free book, and it will be an ebook, so they'll get it instantaneously.
What's the title of the book?
A Lesson a Day for Traders.
Adrian, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you so much for your time.
For more information about Adrian and the services she offers, contact her at tradingontarget.com.
Knowing which sector is hot and which is not is essential. Check out the hot and cold menu item on tradinggame.com.au for your free weekly fix.
Drumroll, please. I'm very proud to announce that our 3-month goal of raising $15,000 for Opportunity International has been achieved by you, our members of the Trading Game Mentor Program. Opportunity International is a provider of small loans and community development programs to families living in poverty in the developing world. With a small loan to buy a sewing machine or plant a vegetable farm, families are able to transform their lives. With 97% of loans recycled, the impact of the money raised through the mentor program continues year after year. $15,000 is enough to give 263 families the opportunity to work their way out of poverty. I'd like to thank all of you for contributing to such a worthy cause. Last week's trading trivia question was, which company traded the highest price for a share of stock? Was it A, Yahoo Japan, B, Berkshire Hathaway, C, Mechanics Bank, or D, Google? And the answer is
Yahoo!
Yahoo Japan. Yahoo Japan is a Japanese internet company formed in 1996 between the American company Yahoo and the Japanese company SoftBank. In the year 2000, it traded for more than 100 million yen per share. Next week's trading trivia question is, what is the lipstick index? Find out next episode. That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, special guest Adrian Tograhi, Lady Louise Bedford and Chris Tate. Stay tuned next week to see how our traders from the longitudinal study are progressing. We caught up with them at the Mentor Program's midpoint meeting in Melbourne last week. Happy trading this week. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.